Hey everyone, this is Jack here, and this is episode 14 of the Off the Beaten Path podcast. So, right now, I am standing on the Taj Mahal, walking around the giant marble exterior of this beautiful domed building. Right inside, I just walked through the mausoleum, and yeah, it really is incredible. It's this beautiful symmetric building. You know, perfect four-point symmetry, like the entire exterior, interior. At the very center is a tomb for a Mughal leader's wife, his favorite wife of his many, and who died after giving birth to her 14th child. And so this Mughal emperor decided to build this beautiful giant tomb in her honor. And it's actually a really crazy story. I was listening to an audio guide yesterday for Agra Fort here, hearing about the history of the Mughals. And, eventually this ruler who built the Taj Mahal, his own son captured and imprisoned him and made him live out his days in captivity. I think the last 9 years of his life, he was in this jail cell overlooking the Taj Mahal and his wife's burial site, and then he was buried right next to his wife. And yeah, if you go inside, it's the only thing that is not symmetrical in this whole gigantic building is there's a tomb for him right next to his wife. So yeah, really beautiful, interesting place. The marble work is insane. Like, if you walk up to the side of it and you realize that these little colored patterns everywhere along the marble are actually where they've taken these giant pieces of marble and cut out small little slits and filled them with other types of stone. So what looks like is painted on is actually just very, very elaborately cut and carved stone in all of these beautiful different patterns. I'm running my hands along it now, and you can, like, it's weathered over the 400 years that it's been here, but it's still holding up. It's pretty incredible. So this makes world wonder number 3 of my travels so far. And overall, like, it's nice to see these wonders, but it's not my favorite part of traveling. That's more been the people that I've met. And so I want to go back and tell some stories of my past couple weeks, because I've met a lot of amazing people. I had some interesting stories along the way. So I think the last time I left this podcast, I was on a night bus heading south to the desert, to Rajasthan. And the first city I went to was Jaipur. I found a guy on couch surfing there who was, I think I mentioned before, he runs an elephant farm and was getting married and invited me to his wedding. And I arrived literally on the morning of the wedding, and he was way too busy to be able to pick me up, but he got one of his friends to come pick me up, and I dropped my stuff at his house, and they were like, all right, let's go. You know, he gave me a collared shirt to wear, because I didn't have much of anything. And then we, went over to this guy's house who was getting married, and it was packed with people. Women and men all around, women standing in a group sort of chanting and singing. Older men were, like, sitting down, like, negotiating money. I should say, like, this was a very traditional Hindu wedding. Like, conservative Hindu parents. And this was an arranged marriage for this guy. I'll talk more about that in a little bit, but I wanted to talk about some of the ceremonies that I saw first. Like I said, when I got there, I have never met this guy before, but he was so busy with all the ceremonies, I actually didn't get to talk to him, so I was just sort of hanging around. I found some other people who were visiting from Europe who are friends of this guy. Pushpendra is his name. Known him for a long time, so met these people, started chatting with them, and yeah, the ceremonies were really interesting. He was sitting around, and they were, like, putting all sorts of different flowers and incense and colors on his forehead, like, sort of decorating him. He was wearing this full, like, turban and very nice suit with a saber attached and a knife on the other side of his waist, like really elaborate garb. I think it's pretty typical to hold a knife and a saber at these Indian weddings, or these Hindu weddings rather. So eventually, like, they get up and we all file outside, and he gets on a horse in the streets, and a band comes and they start like playing music, and then a lot of people come up and they start taking like wads of money and like waving it in front of his face and then giving it to his dad. It was this sort of like ritualistic way of like waving money in front of him and then handing it to Pushpendra's dad. And so that was interesting, and we paraded through the streets for a little bit, seeing plenty of camels and elephants walk past. Rajasthan has a wide diversity of animals in the streets, and you have to watch where you step to avoid these animals' byproducts. So, we paraded for a little while, and then I should say I had no idea what was going on. Like, this friend of Pushpendra's, he really didn't tell me much of what we were doing. So I was just sort of along for the ride, and then all of a sudden we were like, okay, let's get in this van, let's go. I'm like, okay. So I assume we were just going across town to a wedding venue. Come to find out, we're actually going for a 5-hour drive to a whole different city for more of these wedding ceremonies. So I did like a 5-hour drive and arrived there, you know, in the evening time at this other city. And it was this massive venue. Well, actually, at first there was this like small little ceremony at a Hindu temple, and then we went over to this giant wedding venue. Actually, I should pause now and say we stopped along the way for lunch, and I finally got to talk to Pushpendra, the guy who's getting married, and it was kind of a bummer. I talked to him. I was like, wow, you know, I like your saber, it's cool garb, you know, just trying to make conversation with him. And he's like, you think I look good? You should imagine how good I would look if I actually wanted to get married. So this was an arranged marriage for Pushpendra that he really didn't want, and his parents were kind of forcing him to do it. He'd never seen his bride's face or knew her name, or I think, no, he did know her name, but like, yeah, he's never met her before the ceremony. And not only that, like, he had a girlfriend that his parents knew about, but she was from Eastern Europe or something, and she actually left the day before the wedding because he's getting married and she didn't want to be around for that. Or I don't really know the details, but yeah, so pretty crazy situation. I don't think all arranged marriages are this conservative, this old-fashioned of a way of doing it, but this is definitely his experience in 2020. And yeah, he seemed like a thoroughly like modern Western guy, but I think his parents are still in the kind of older, more conservative mindset. So there was definitely some unhappiness on his part about getting married. In all the pictures and everything, I didn't see him smile once. Tons of pictures and stuff. Like I said, we got to this giant venue with like hundreds of people. They were feeding hundreds of people, and we had this like executive area upstairs, like for away from all the most of the people, and we like sat around, ate food, chatted for a little while. I was actually feeling kind of sick. I think I talked about in my last podcast, I was not doing well, and it kind of came back just for like a few, like 4 to 6 hours. But it was really poor timing because it was right during the wedding, and I was just, I probably had a slight fever and wasn't feeling that great. So I couldn't, that kind of took away from my enjoyment of the, you know, the festivities of the wedding. But I sat around and chatted for a little bit, had some food, and then they stayed there partying until like 1 a.m. Just sitting around, having whiskey, chatting, making jokes, but I just wasn't feeling it. So I went and laid down. It was like, this place had everything. There was like bedding everywhere in this executive upper area. So I just like laid down and chilled, took a nap for a few hours. And then, yeah, we did another, actually before I took the nap, we did another parade through the streets at nighttime. And this one was even crazier with fireworks and even bigger band. Everyone was dancing this time. And instead of, they had money and they were waving it in front of Pushpendra, but instead of giving it to someone, they were throwing it up into the air, and children were just swarming to like pick up the money. It was quite amusing, but I was a little too sick to enjoy it. Like, the guys were, like, pulling me in to dance and all this stuff, and I wasn't feeling it. Was not feeling that great. But I still, you know, went along and saw all the ceremonies and everything, and had some nice chats with a few friends that I made there. But yeah, wasn't feeling up much to dancing and, you know, doing any of the crazy stuff. So yeah, then, eventually at 1 a.m. we, like, took the car all the way back to Jaipur and, like, managed to get, like, a late morning sleep. But apparently the rest of the wedding happened that night, and Pushpendra met his bride and everything, but actually never saw him again after that wedding. That was it. Like, apparently the actual ceremony is they do a fire ceremony where they have this fire, and the bride and the groom do 7 laps of, like, walking around the fire, and each lap they, like, say a promise to each other. It would have been cool to see that, but even his closest friends weren't invited to that. I think it was like a family only sort of thing. But yeah, it was, I, you know, was hoping I would meet up again with him. But there was just, I was just planning on staying there a couple days because I had plans to meet someone else in a different city, and never got up with him. So I ended up doing a couple other things in Jaipur that was pretty cool. There's this thing called Amber Fort, this giant Mughal fort from the 16th century. It's kind of unclear when these... I've been to a lot of forts recently in Rajasthan, and it's unclear when the dates are... You know, when these forts were built, clearly, because they might have been, like, a first pass at the fort in 900 AD, and then, like, you know, the Mughals come and they add all of these fortifications and things, but at least as old as the 1600s for a lot of these forts. So yeah, I saw a fort in Jaipur, which was pretty cool. Found a nice audio guide to, like, wander around the fort and hear, you know, the history of the Mughal Empire, like, what the different buildings represented. I think the ruler of that fort had 31 wives and, like, a concubine as well, so this, like, harem of women, and, like, it's like, this is the courtyard where they all, like, hung out and had, you know, like, political struggles and, you know, trying to increase the political power of their children or these sorts of things. Really interesting hearing, you know, and, like, all the different rooms for the different queens that are, like, all overlooking each other, and yeah, these, like, battlegrounds where they would bring in elephants, and, like, it's almost like a Mughal version of the Colosseum, and have, like, elephants fight each other. So also, like, a bunch of palaces. There's, in multiple forts that I went to, they had this place called a mirror palace, where they'd have these giant marble rooms filled with little shards of mirror put into the marble. And apparently that was the time at night, or, like, in the winter time, whenever it was cold, they would close up this place and it would be dark in there. So they would light candles or torches or lanterns, and all the mirrors on the wall would reflect these candles. I mean, thousands of mirrors, little tiny mirrors everywhere. So that was cool to visualize. Like, what would that be like, you know, in the dark with little lanterns in there. So yeah, Agra Fort was nice. I spent a day exploring Jaipur. It's kind of one of the bigger cities in Rajasthan. And, you know, had some decent food. Had a little bit of food that didn't agree with me. I think for the first time I got a little bit of Delhi belly, even though it wasn't in Delhi, it was in Jaipur. But it wasn't too bad. I got over it in a day or two. And, yeah, not too much else to say about Jaipur. Like I said, I just spent a day exploring the city. Oh, one other thing. I managed to cook with the guy I was staying with on couch surfing a couple times. His name is Hero. He's an older guy, maybe my age, who lives with his parents, which is pretty traditional here. And they're a Muslim family, so that was interesting seeing, like, some of the, like, there's a lot of rules based around, like, the kitchen and cooking and, like, wearing shoes in the house, like, no shoes at all. So it's interesting staying with a really nice family. The only guy that spoke English was Hero, So, but I think his mom really took a liking to me because of my love of cooking. We were talking about food, and I was asking him if, you know, if he wanted me to cook something. And he asked me to cook something from my region. So I made Southern-style fried chicken, which was really interesting, especially to his mom. She stood there and watched me the whole time. And what's funny is I fried a few pieces. We bought a kilogram of chicken, so a couple pounds of chicken, and, you know, splitting it between five or six people. And I fry like a few pieces, and his brother has one bite and is like, just leaves the room. And I'm like, where's your brother going, or something like that? And he's like, he liked it so much, he's just immediately going to buy more chicken. So he like went right out to the store. Hopefully this doesn't gross any of you out too much, but when you buy a chicken here in India, at least in Jaipur or I think probably anywhere, you don't go to a supermarket. You go to the guy who butchers chickens, and you know there's a couple chickens sitting out front, and he didn't have to slaughter one fresh for us. But when he served us the meat, it was still warm. So definitely a different vibe than going to a grocery store and getting this nice prepackaged meat. Like, you know what you're eating whenever you you're eating an animal. And yeah, it was a little weird, but like I'm accepting that, you know, whenever I eat meat, like that's what's happening. So it wasn't that weird for me, but definitely been eating a lot less meat here, which has been nice. Anyway, so I had this fried chicken, which is really great. And then the next day we made mutton, goat meat. I had it once before whenever I was staying in couch surfing in Delhi, and I loved it. So I wanted to try it one more time. It was good, but not quite as good as the first time I had it. But still a good dish, and I cooked with the mother of this family again, so that was pretty cool. And I think I could make it. I think I could make mutton at this point. Need mustard oil and the right spices, but I think I could pull it off. So yeah. After Jaipur, I went down to Jodhpur, which is a smaller city in Rajasthan, and I like that quite a bit better than Jaipur in terms of scenery. And I went to a fort there as well, and it was really great. Just a really this beautiful like fort on a hill. Met a couple people at my hostel, one guy from India and someone else from the United Kingdom. And the three of us wandered around through the fort, and it was just a really beautiful fort up on a hill, and I think it was a bit better preserved than the one in Jaipur. So I had these great like sweeping views of the valley around, and we actually did a lot of things that first day there in Jodhpur. We went on this little hike that had this really nice view of the fort afterwards. Had a great lunch. Had a nice group to travel with there for 24 hours that I just met at the hostel. It was really, really fun. What else to say about... Oh, I gotta go back for a second. One thing that I forgot about Jaipur, the first city in Rajasthan that I was in, is the elephant camp. So, like I said, Pushpendra owns an elephant farm. Farm isn't the right word. It's where they take care of elephants and rent out the elephants for like weddings and different things. So these are domesticated, trained elephants that are like, they've always like elaborately kind of painted and these sorts of things. And Hero, the guy I was staying with, also works at this elephant farm. And so I got to go hang out with some elephants for a little while and like feed them some grass, like hold their trunk, you know, like reach out my hand and he would grab my hand with his trunk and just sort of pull. It was so cool. So cool. Massive, beautiful creature. Very friendly. And kind of fun to play with, you know. I would get like bundles of grass, bundles of like reeds. These like, you know, he was kind of munching on them occasionally, and I would put them up to him, like, as if trying to feed them, and he would grab it with his trunk and pull, and we'd play, like, tug of war a little bit, and he would win every time. I keep saying he, it's actually a she. She would win every time. Really, really strong. Like, an elephant's trunk is insane. Just pure muscle. And as thick as two of my thighs, maybe one and a half of my thighs. Just, like, really, really powerful piece of muscle. It was funny, you know, they took a couple elephants out to, like, out to the city, I guess, for a wedding ceremony or something like that. So they put the seat on top of them, and they grab to get on top of these elephants. These elephant riders will grab the elephant by both ears and stand on its trunk and then walk forward up its trunk while the elephant, like, lifts it up. So really incredibly trained creatures. But yeah, it was really cool to hang out with an elephant, and such a beautiful, beautiful animal. Very wrinkly, very, like, sparse, coarse hairs all over its body that are kind of prickly. Yeah, it's a bit intimidating when you first walk up, but it's really fun. So yeah, sorry for that tangent, jumping back to Jaipur, but I couldn't forget that story. It's too good. So yeah, Jodhpur, met a couple people at my hostel, and you know, just went around seeing some sights. It was pretty nice, you know. Quiet city. The next day we, like, went up to some gardens, like an older tomb sort of thing, and just sort of walked around these old ancient Hindu temples. Yeah, and chatted. It's a really great group, this Indian guy and lady from the UK. So had a lot of good conversation about culture and, you know, history. I don't think we listened to an audio tour or anything, but the guy from Mumbai was pretty knowledgeable. I also shared the story about the arranged wedding. And just to give some context, I think it's useful to say, like, his experience. He's considering having an arranged wedding, but it's kind of up to him. He's, you know, if he met a woman and it was, like, a good fit for his family, what he said, like, they would be fine with him marrying, you know, someone that he met and fell in love with. But if not, he can have an arranged marriage, and it's kind of like dating, like online dating, but through your parents. And he showed me, again, this is like a more modern version of arranged marriage, where it's like he has basically resumes of different women that are like potential matches for him, and he has a resume that he sends out to other families as well. And if, like, they're both interested, then they'll meet up and have a few conversations, and then if the parents agree, then they get married. You know, it's an interesting system. And he, yeah, he's in, seems like he's in high demand because he's a doctor, and, you know, so yeah, it was just an interesting, it doesn't have to be as drastic as what Pushpendra experienced, but it's, yeah, it's definitely just interesting hearing, you know, the different ways that arranged marriage could happen. So after Jodhpur, went on to another city. I've been hopping around. I'd spent so much time just, like, chilling in Delhi and Rishikesh, I decided to pick up the pace for a little bit. So I spent three cities in Rajasthan. The third one that I went to was Pushkar, which was a really different city than Jodhpur and Jaipur, which are older cities with these big forts. Pushkar is a much smaller city. It's much more similar to Rishikesh in that it's like a holy city. So no meat and no alcohol in the city. Yeah, it was really, really nice. I think out of everywhere I visited in Rajasthan, I wish I had more time there more than anywhere else. I just had a couple nights there because I'm working my way east for my next plans, which I'll get to in a minute. But Pushkar, it's a really beautiful city. A little challenging to get to because it's so small. You have to go to a nearby city and then take a tuk-tuk. And man, with all these hopping between cities, I've been taking a bunch of night buses. And yeah, this bus dropped me off on like the side of the highway at like 6 in the morning, and I had to it wasn't 6 in the morning. I'm already mixing them up. It was like 9 at night, and I had to get a tuk-tuk, like maybe an hour long to pushcar from the random side of the highway that I got dropped off. And so I think I paid 600 rupees for the bus, and I ended up paying 400 rupees for the tuk-tuk. So, you know, like an 8-hour bus ride was like $8, but then this 1-hour tuk-tuk ride to my city was, you know, $6 or $7. It's all cheap, it doesn't matter, but like, it's kind of funny that my tuk-tuk ride was about the price of my actual, you know, bus to get there in the first place. So yeah, after making it to Pushkar, I immediately got there and just fell in love with the place. Like, the hostel I was staying at was super, tons of hospitality. Sat down, started, they were playing some chess, so I got in, played a couple games of chess, and had some pizza, and just really, really cool vibe at the hostel that I was at. And I realized it wasn't just the hostel, it's the whole city. It's just this, got this very relaxed vibe. I've met a guy here in Agra who says he loves to take vacations there in Rishikesh, just like Pushkar and Rishikesh are his favorite places to go, just because the people are so relaxed and it's friendly, friendly people. So really nice time in Pushkar. I'm losing track of all the people I've met. I met some interesting people in Pushkar, staying at my hostel as well. Who, for the first night I had a whole room to myself, which was nice, a whole dorm room to myself. But then I met, a couple from London and chatted with them for a while, played some chess with them, and we didn't end up traveling together, but it's one of those people you meet, like, just immediately click with right away, and he's like, if you're ever in London, let me know, we'll meet up. So I have this growing contact list of people all over the place that, you know, might meet up with someday, which would be great. Anyway, so Pushkar was, the next day I had like a full day to explore. That was kind of my only full day there, and I filled it up. Did so much in that day. It was 2 days. So the first day I did a yoga class and tried a bunch of the food that was around there. Really good food. The next day I went for a motorcycle lesson and a camel ride, and again ate some incredible food, had some great conversations with locals as well. So squeezed in as much as I could there, and still felt like that was more that I wanted to do. This giant holy lake that people take pilgrimages from in the center of Pushkar, and tons of these little temples all around it. I wandered down to the temple and got to see the lake for a little bit, then went up to a cafe and just like this, you know, fourth, fifth story cafe, and like overlooking this entire lake, just like sipping coffee. Really, really beautiful area. So yeah, I alluded to the next day I did a motorcycle lesson. I saw somewhere you could get like a 1-hour motorcycle lesson for $8 or something. And so I gave it a try. It was pretty fun. I didn't properly learn how to do everything, but it was, I think with a couple more lessons, I could do it on my own. I'm not sure if I want to rent a motorcycle for anything. I feel like I would have to know it's like safe roads or something, but it's interesting to try out. Sort of did it for fun. And also went on a camel ride, which was really interesting, out to the desert. Pushkar has some like proper sand dunes. It's not like the full desert with no vegetation, but we walked out there on the camel. Camels are massive, by the way, absolutely enormous creatures. I mean, as tall as 3 horses stacked on top of each other, and weighs probably just as much. I'm glad I did it. It was a cool to ride around on the camel. And where we went to in the sand dunes, it was also kind of like a gypsy community out there, where they had all these shanty towns set up, and it was interesting to see how some of those people lived as well. I didn't really chat much with them. I got off the camel at one point and tried to, but the language barrier was just too much, I think. So yeah, after the camel ride, got some really great lunch, and it's just, again, something about Pushkar, the people there are just so friendly, it's different. I had like an incredible thali, which a thali, if anyone doesn't know, it's like a lunch with a lot of different things added onto it. So you basically have mixed vegetables, dal, you know, bread, rice, and another curry dish, you know, it's basically like a little sampler platter almost. So I had this incredible sampler platter and a yogurt lassi, and I think it was 200 rupees, like $3. Just like insanely cheap, the best food that I'd had in Pushkar. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh, do I want something else? Not really sure. And the shop owner just like invited me upstairs to hang out and like have a chai and smoke a cigarette and just wanted to chat with me and just super, super friendly. And so I thought that was really cool. Just, you know, sitting and chatting with him and just, yeah, just, that chai was exactly what I wanted. So, and just gave it to me for free just because he felt like being nice and having a conversation. And yeah, we ended up like chatting for an hour. So yeah, that was really great. So yeah, Pushkar, I could go on about this city. I got a really good impression of there, and people were telling me it's like when you come back to Pushkar one day, you know, all this stuff. So yeah, maybe I'll go back there one day. That's a pretty special city. So that brings me to my current city of Agra. I took a night bus from Pushkar to Agra, not last night, but the night before. And officially the worst night bus I've had in India. I got downgraded to some sleeper. It's like a very bizarre sleeping situation. If anyone's seen my Snapchats or pictures, it's like the other sleeper buses I've had in India have been pretty good with these like closing solid plastic doors. But this one just had a curtain. And right outside of the curtain was this just like open mattress, kind of. It's very hard to describe, but it's basically, you know, the sleeper, it was at the same level as me, and a bunch of Indian guys all piled on it, and there were just elbows and knees, like, going through my curtain, like, hitting me during the night. It was a really bumpy bus ride. I think there was no suspension on this bus, and, you know, on the Indian roads, which is very bumpy. I think I was right over the axle, too. So, did not have the best sleep on the bus. But luckily, when I got into Agra, there was a person that had, like, left their single room. And the guy was like, you can just go sleep in there if you want. So I just, like, had a private room to myself the night I got in that I didn't pay for. And just, like, slept there for 4 hours. So managed to catch up on sleep. And, yeah, yesterday I, again, like, met a great group of people at my hostel. Someone from Switzerland, and we went around and explored the Agra Fort here, which was pretty cool. Listened to an audio guide as well and learned more about the Mughals. That's where I learned a bit about the Taj Mahal that I was talking about at the beginning of this podcast. And yeah, I had a really relaxing night last night. Oh, here's a funny story. So I've been playing chess recently, like I've mentioned, kind of all around here in India. India's where chess originates, actually, so makes sense that it's popular here, I think. And I was, as I was leaving the Agra Fort yesterday, there was a guy trying to sell a little hand chess set. It's a little round chess set. With the pieces, they kind of like slot into these little holes. So it's kind of a good travel chess set. And I'd seen this once before, and he's trying to sell it for $20 or something. And I'm like, nah, that's way too expensive. And we go to get in the tuk-tuk to leave the fort. And the guy's literally chasing me down. 1,000 rupees, 900 rupees, 800 rupees, just going and going, just really trying to sell it to me. And, you know, I'm sitting in the tuk-tuk and I'm like, you know, kind of want it because it's kind of a cool chess set. And so I'm like, okay, 500 rupees, which is $7. So I'm like, okay, fine. I'll take it. So he gives it to me. And the tuk-tuk immediately drives away. And I look at this set that he gave me and try to, like, open it up, and it won't open. It's just like, this set is just like, so like I said, it's a round chess set, and it kind of closes on itself. And he handed it to me, and I thought, he's tricked me. Like, this is just the solid block of wood. This isn't a chess set. So I was convinced that I'd been scammed, and I rode back to the hostel and just was hanging out at the hostel, just like holding this hollow block of wood. It's like, oh, he's got me, he's scammed me. But I wasn't that upset about it. I'm like, okay, $7. And then I hand it to someone else, and without telling him that I was scammed, I was like, he's like, oh, the chess set, you bought it. He'd seen it before. I'm like, yeah, try and open it. And it was, turns out, it wasn't scammed at all, even though I thought I was for like an hour. This like apparently solid block of wood was just stuck closed. Like, it's just a slightly poor design where the lid to the chess set just like was stuck closed. So we pulled it open. It's like, oh, I actually do have a chess set. So it was an emotional roller coaster yesterday for sure. But yeah, I broke in the inaugural chess set and like carved off some of the edge with a knife so it doesn't get stuck as easily, because it does get very stuck when you closed it. Like, we closed it a second time and actually couldn't get it back open without prying it off. So yeah, I got a nice little chess set and wasn't actually scammed, which was, yeah, amusing story. Yeah, and then today woke up and went to the Taj Mahal. And that pretty much brings me up to where I'm at now, which is a good thing because this podcast is getting quite long. Yeah, so my plan is to explore a little more of the Taj Mahal today. This whole time I've just been walking around the Taj Mahal, like right next to it. It's quite crowded here, as one would expect. Yeah, so after the Taj Mahal, I'm going to meet up with some friends that I made yesterday. And then, oh, sorry, I'm doing this right now. Yeah, someone wants to chat. Yeah, after I meet up with my friends, I'm actually catching another night bus tonight. My gosh, I'm so over night buses. I might switch to a train for my next travel. Yeah, take a night bus tonight to Kanpur to. It's so funny. When I tell people I'm going to Kanpur, if it's a Westerner, they're like, where's Kanpur? No one's ever heard of it if they're not from India. And any Indian that I talk to is like, why are you going to Kanpur? Like, they're so confused. But I'm really excited to be going. That's where Shiraz's family lives. So I'm going to go grab a hotel there and visit with Shiraz's family and kind of slow down the pace for a little bit, stay there for a few days and just see where Shiraz grew up, which will be really cool. And yeah, hopefully, you know, it'll be a nice relaxing time and they don't treat me too strangely as a tourist in this area. I don't think they catch many tourists, but that's part of the appeal. So yeah, that's my plans next. And with that, I guess I'll go ahead and wrap it up. So see you guys next time.